Please, if you want to turn there. We will deal with verses 1 through 6. If I get messed up, I memorized this years and years and years ago in the King James translation, and I'm reading today from the New American Standard Version. And so, by the way, while you're going there, someone asked me one day, and I've been asked several days since, Pastor, what translation do you prefer? And really, folks, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Every translation I've ever read told me more than I was putting into practice in my life. And you understand, it's not what you read, it's how you practice what you read from the Word of God. The Word of God comes alive when you start practicing the Word of God. Nothing else really is very good. I want you to know that. Have you found John's Gospel, chapter 14? Would you stand to honor the Word of God? If you follow the chronology of the Word of God in the life of Jesus, Jesus has just said to Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, I'd die first. And then Jesus says, John records, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, and by the way, that is not a question, that's a statement. You believe in God. You know that man is incurably religious. He's going to believe in a God. Will it be the true God? Will it be the one who just a moment we sang about, Jesus is the way to heaven. Okay? You believe in God. And then he says, you go ahead and believe in me too. There it is, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If this wasn't the truth, I would tell you the truth. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I'll come again and receive you to myself. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know, we are so blessed. I'm doing a little Smith translation here, now commentary along the way. We are so blessed, oh my, we're so blessed, that we have so much testimony about Jesus, for and behalf of Jesus, and the life that Jesus provides for us. How in the world could we go about and miss it? Where I am, you know, and the way, you know, and we know the way. We're going to talk about that again today. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? By the way, it always helps if you know where you're going to figure out the way, doesn't it? I'll share an experience that Brother Randy and I had the other day. Matter of fact, I think it was last Sunday. But anyway, so Jesus answered Thomas, we don't know where you're going, how we know the way. Jesus said this, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now listen carefully. You are included in the Scriptures. You may not have known that you were in the Scriptures, but you are in the Scriptures. No man, ladies, that applies to you too. It's a new gender. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Father, through your precious word, Jesus declared to us, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Through your precious word, today, you show us the way we're on, or if the case be, the way we should be on, but in particular, Father, show us how it is we get there to where you are, because that is our goal, and we plan on being with you forever one day. May it be, Father, may it be. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. A man came in, I think it was last Sunday evening, if my memory is correct, Brother Randy, He wanted us to buy him a room at the Motel 6 or 8. Yeah, you know, over here on 24. He said, that way I can get up early Monday morning and get out on 24 and hitch a ride. And Brother Randy said, which way are you going? He said, don't make any difference. He didn't know which way he was going. And so after he left, Brother Randy said, he'll do this number, you know. Whichever, you know. Stand in the media. Now, if you remember, 3 weeks ago, I introduced this subject of the road. There are two roads in life. And you need to know which one you're on, and you need to know where you're going on that road and how you're going to get there. Now, Peggy and I, a little while back, I guess 6 weeks now, back in March for our 65th wedding anniversary, got on I-69 down at the end of 9, I think. And not at the end, but where it met 69 and headed south. Around Indianapolis on 465 and down 65 through Louisville and all the way down to Nashville, Tennessee, and then all the way then from Nashville, Tennessee to Huntsville, Alabama, and then Birmingham, and then all the way down to Montgomery, Alabama, and got on 63 and went over to Highway 10, and we knew where we were going, and we had charted the way. Now, if you'll remember, I brushed by this. Folks, the media, that's that place out there in the middle. Got grass on it, got trees on it, got viaducts on it, got all kind of hazards in it and on it. That media, it goes nowhere. Did you ever notice that? Don't make your decision. You can go either way, but you won't get anywhere. I've never met anyone, truck drivers, vagabonds, I've never met anyone planning to travel on the media. Now let me tell you something, if you're planning to travel on that media, you're kind of foolish. In fact, down on the ranch, they'd say, you're dumb. I traveled that one time. Did I ever tell you about that? Peggy and I was on Highway 10, going west towards Houston, Texas. And when I came to, she would just, well, I'm telling you, that gal's got a punch. She was hammering me. And I was wondering as I came to, what am I doing driving down here in the pasture? Well, it wasn't the pasture, it was the media, down like green grass. Well, I had the cruise on doing 70 miles an hour. I eased her right back up on 10 and looked all around. Nobody was watching. I said, the doctor says that probably when she hammered me, she got my heart beating again. And we went on down the road. I've got all kinds of complications. Who was it? We shared about some of our dilemmas, you know, hernias and cancer and all the things, you know, that you can have. And that's one I've got a pacemaker, defibrillator, and all kinds of things just from that one experience of driving in the media. Now, I praise God that there weren't any viaducts, any trees, any culverts, anything like that in that media because, listen, traveling the media is a dangerous place. Got it? Which way you going? There's two roads. One road, no, Brother Ed's got one going up. He's back there pointing me going up. Well, I guess we're going to take the north route, Ed, and all of us will go up, hopefully. You see, you are on your way to heaven, or you are on your way to hell. Jesus said, and by the way, don't stay away, but next Sunday is the road to hell. Today is the road to heaven. You've got a page in your bulletin for a sermon notes if you want to put it down there. And perhaps I'll get to the place where I can hand this to Brother Randy and he can put this in the bulletin and you can fill in the blanks. There you go. Okay. The road to heaven. By the way, it's the highway. Ed, it's the highway. Okay. And by Jesus is the token to the highway. You don't get on the road any other. Got it? You just don't get on the road any other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one, including you, you may have a scheme, you may have a plot, you may have a brilliant plan, but you don't get on that. And by the way, I want to tell you something else. There's all kinds of plans presented, and all of them but Jesus are false. I was talking to a guy, and by the way, he's a nice guy, really nice guy, and we were talking biblical doctrine, we were talking about his belief, and he was explaining what it was, and he had some scripture, Acts 2:38, that's, yeah. And it's a pretty popular movement right now, in case you hear about it. But basically it is this, that the way to get on the road to heaven is baptism. And it's phrased like this, generational, regenerational baptism. You get saved by being baptized. Well, that's just not so. Jesus over there in John chapter 3 said to Nicodemus, who came to him at night and said to him, oh my, we know you're already a teacher come from God. No man does the things that you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, after some other things, explaining, and Nicodemus, smart as he was, still not understanding, and Jesus said, God loved you so much. Listen to me, listen. God loved you so much. Hallelujah. Can you imagine an almighty, holy, righteous, everlasting God loving you? Now you know, you look nice today. Everybody smile. You look nice today. But I want to tell you something. Down deep inside, God knows. Amen? He knows. He knows what your thoughts are at times when they're not good. I just can't help saying this. I shouldn't. He knows when you're thinking, I wish that preacher would shut up and we could go home. Beat the Methodist to the restaurant. God knows. And he loves you. Oh my. That just staggers me. When I really, and we're going to look at it in just a minute, when I really get a mental grasp of heaven and God, holy, righteous, everlasting, sitting on a throne, controlling the whole universe, he loves me. Woo! That ought to get you going. Now, if it don't, you got wet wood bad. You're dried out. Okay. So Jesus is the token. For the gate. Now we're on a, you see, we are on a toll road. It's not a free highway. But Pastor, I thought Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's free. Well, it does, doesn't it? Come think of it. It's free. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before, that's that guy, you know, that I just talked about, ordained that we should walk in them. He's the way. You don't get on the way to heaven, on the highway to heaven, unless you have Jesus. And by the way, A, he's a token for salvation. There's just no other. You go through the toll booth, so the way to heaven, and you throw in anything but Jesus, it spit right back in your face. I don't, good works, baptism, dollars. I get tickled at the people think they're going to buy their way to heaven. Mm-hmm. That won't work. But I want to tell you something. It may fit into the good works that you want to stand and face Jesus with. For one day, we'll talk about that in a minute, okay? By the way, now listen to me. That also Jesus is the token for righteousness. Did you know that holy, righteous God asks you to be righteous? In fact, he demands it. Who, me? Yeah. I'll run this little survey. I think I've done this before, and you may have it, and that's good if you do. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. On a scale of from one being, let's just say zero, okay? On a scale of zero to ten, and ten being perfect, okay? How righteous are you? Now, you don't have to answer out loud, but how righteous are you? But if you did answer, what would you say? Any fives here? Really? Well, I'm not going down. Any sixes here? Sevens here? Eights here? Oh, well, let's just skip the... Any tens here? Oh, you guys got a lesson to learn. Let me tell you something. It's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus who loved you and gave himself for you. And when you stand before Almighty God, if you have your righteousness, that token gets spit out. But if you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, Paul said that best. He said, not counting on my righteousness, but the righteousness of him who loved me and gave himself for me. Now listen, folks, listen to me. Come on. How righteous is Jesus? Everybody here agree he's 10? Yeah. And you have his righteousness for God. So, he's the token for righteousness, and I'm going to go one more. Yeah, somebody's already told on me. He's the righteousness for holiness. God sometimes just gets me up against a wall. Be holy. Ooh. Now that's enough, isn't it? Holiness. Be holy. Then he says, even as God is holy. Now that's putting it out there, by the way. Here again, Jesus is holy. And he's the token for your holiness. If you have Jesus, you have holiness. For you see, God is not going to see anything in you, hallelujah, hallelujah, but Jesus. Got it? Now listen, folks, y'all get a good night's sleep? I didn't. I was awake at 3:30 this morning. And didn't go back to sleep to what time was it? After breakfast. And I'm not joking you. After breakfast, I told Peggy, wake me up at about 8. I'm going to go back to sleep. And she's so nice. She didn't wake me up till 10 after 8. Okay. Now, so let's go on. Jesus is not only the way you get on the road. He's the toll gate in heaven. The story goes like this. An old boy died with a heart attack. And when he got to the... I'm doing a little maintenance here, Brother Austin's not here. No, it's better. When he got to the pearly gates, he marched right in because he knew he had been saved. And St. Peter said, hold on, buddy. You just can't barge in here like that. You've got to pass a test. Does that ever cross your mind? Am I going to be able to pass? Most of the people in the world think you're not going to really know whether you're going to heaven or going to get into heaven or not until you get there and stand before the judgment of Almighty God, and he says, all right, you pass, or you don't. So the old boy said, what is the test? And he said, you got to spell a word. Oh, what's the word? love. L-O-V-E. You're right. Come right in. A few days later, the old boy was gandering through heaven, just taking it all in. Won't it be sweet when we get there? Oh, we'll look at in a minute what we're going to see when we get there. Won't that be great? And St. Peter said, hey, dude, I want you to tend the gate. I got some business I got to take care of. Oh, what I do? Well, you know, you just come in the other day. Oh, okay. And the first person to show up was his mother-in-law, who never had liked him, who had never treated him nice. Sorry, ladies, this is just a story I heard. And she said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I passed the test. Well, what's the test? You've got to spell a word. What's the word? He said, Czechoslovakia. Listen, Jesus is the toll gate to heaven. You got Jesus, you got heaven. No Jesus, no heaven. You had better examine very, very carefully and make sure that Jesus resides in your heart today. Because we're going to find out in a minute. He may come back today. I may not finish this sermon. But hallelujah, if I don't, Ed, we know which way we're going. Hallelujah to that. Okay, now, he's the toll gate to heaven. Verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, I want to flip you over to Revelation chapter 21. That, in case you don't know, that's in the New Testament, and that's over at the end of the book. In fact, that is the last, and by the way, it's close to the last pages. That's why I'm having a problem finding it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Jesus is the focus. Are you with me? Jesus is the focus of heaven. Yeah. We're going to look at a minute. 12 gates. All of them. So many feet tall. All of them made out of precious, precious jewels. Pure jewels. Not what we see. You know, the topaz there is different than the topaz. The onyx there is different than the onyx here. The diamond there is different than the diamond here because it's pure diamond. It's pure topaz. It's pure onyx. 1,200 miles high. Okay. He's the focus. Streets made of pure gold. Not that yellow stuff that we wear on our fingers in commemoration of the vows we made to someone we love with all our hearts. Pure gold, transparent, you can see through it. You hear the story about the old boy that was rich? I mean, I don't know what filthy rich is, do you? I always wanted to be a dirty rich, I guess. I don't know about being really filthy rich, but anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to get you to get with me here. He decided when the doctor told him that, man, you just got a few days, just a few days left. He went home and changed all his greenbacks into gold and packed his gold in his suitcase and took off for heaven when that time came, when he got there. What's in that suitcase? Oh, he said, this is my gold I brought up here to give to you. He said, what are you bringing this street material for? Folks, won't it be sweet? Won't it be great when we get there? You know, when we're there in heaven and we're standing right down on the corner of Hallelujah and Divine, and we're stomping and stamping and dancing up a gold storm. Won't that be sweet? Okay, streets, pure gold. He's the beauty-o. See, that won't say a thing. That won't move us at all, because there's that light. He's the light of heaven. There's that light. Brilliant, so brilliant. You know, if you had these eyes, you couldn't see. Paul said we couldn't look on him. Got it? Oh, my, my. He said, I saw things. It's illegal, unlawful, that's the word he uses, to even mention in heaven. Sounds that these ears can't grasp and simulate. Okay. He's the beauty of heaven, verse 11 in chapter 21. Let me just brush that as we go by. Having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And there's the boundaries of heaven. Look in verses 12 through 17, chapter 21. He says, also, she had great and high walls with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates to the north, 3 gates to the south, 3 gates to the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, the gates, and the walls. Listen, the city is laid out as a square. Now, hold on to that word city. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height, all equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angels. And the construction of the wall of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. And the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth Christophos, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th something else. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparency. By the way, just in case you're ever worried, let me tell you who moves the gate open. They stay open. They're never closed. That's a pretty good sized pearl. And he's the balance, Jesus, the balance of heaven. You mean preacher balance? Look at chapter 22 now, real quickly. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, am I in the right verse? No, come down to 6 and 7. That's good too, but come down in chapter 22 to 6 and 7. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which shortly take place. Behold, heads up, antennas on, hold on. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Now he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worshiping God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, come on. He who this hour comes, Jesus returns to planet Earth, Jesus sends an angel to say with a trumpet, toot, 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 and another trumpet, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to me. That's going to happen. And it is my strong conviction that all of the signs that are to be before that happens and when that happens are at hand. And he who is unjust will be unjust still. Jesus told a story about some women. He called them virgins. It does not matter so much as the moral of the story. And half of them were ready. And when the bridegroom came, they were prepared. And half of them were not. And boy, they immediately said, oh, wait a minute, give us some oil for our lamp, which was a requirement. And we'll go in with you. Oh, no, we only have enough. Are you with me? Now, here's something I would preach if I was preaching that story. We only have enough ourselves. Daddy's salvation is not going to help you. Mama's salvation is not going to help you. Grandpa being a preacher won't get you into heaven. Grandma being a Bible reading, Bible loving person won't get you into heaven. You have to have Jesus. Now let's go on. Jesus is the focus. Back of heaven. Chapter 3, 21 verse 3. He's the presence, the only presence in heaven you're going to pay attention to. Back 20, verse 23 of chapter 21. He's the illumination. There's no sun. There's no moon in heaven. Jesus is the light of heaven. A light likened to none you've ever seen before or will ever again. Down in Florida, Peggy Lorraine went to get some glasses, and so I'm sitting there and she says to me, you know, you ought to have your eyes examined. Well, I didn't think it was anything wrong with my eyes. I had a pair of reading glasses that I got at the flea market, and we're doing fine with that, you know. So we have a PVC, PCV. We have an insurance for eyes, glasses. And so, okay, it's not going to cost anything. And that old boy got me up, and you know the routine, don't you? You know, you put your chin right here. And put your forehead right here, you know. And look at my left ear. Bing! He turned a light on, I'm telling you. And then he said, open your eye, man. I got to see in there. Open my eye, for goodness sakes, man. I'm as blind as a bat with that light like that. And the dude was bad enough, he did the next eye, the other eye the same way. Oh, listen, Jesus is going to light up heaven with a brilliance. Now you middle-aged folks, yeah, you like me probably let a doctor take a laser and he done something in your eye, and then he put a lens in there and he called that a cataract remover and a replacer or something. And then he said to you, things are going to be a lot brighter now. You know, and for a few days or weeks or something, they were, and I got used to it. So, I'm going to tell you something we'll never get used to. Never get used to the brilliance, the glory, the light, Jesus in heaven. Okay, he's the illuminator. And by the way, he's the glory, verse 26, 22. He's the glory and he's the honor of heaven one day. Now, Jesus died on Calvary's cross, a bleeding, suffering, rejected, denied Savior. One day, he's coming with all of God's glory. He's coming to stand in the brilliance of, and he'll forever be, as we sing, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and to all eternity. Now, I want to close. Amen. Don't you dare say amen. I want to close. What we just read, listen to me, what we just read is only the capital city. I saw a city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for the bride, adorned for the bridegroom. That's the city, the capital. Now, I want you to understand something, just so your mind will be at ease and you can go home and say, hallelujah. There's going to be an earth there too. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven passed away and there's found no place for it. The old earth passed away. It was burned up with fervent heat like some nuclear energy and passed away and there's found no place for it. But there was a new. We fishermen and golfers are very happy there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There is out of heaven from the right-hand side of the throne of God a river flowing. And it goes down the street and out the gate and it becomes a river that you can walk in. And it goes on down, and on each side of that river, there's trees, one for every month. You won't ever get hungry. If you do, you got a place to eat. There's trees, and its fruits bears year-round. And it soon becomes a river that you can swim in. And then it becomes a river too wide to cross. You see, everything eternally forever is going to be new. Question, class. Are you going to miss it? Or are you prepared right now? And you can say, if before I get into my automobile to go home, or before if I go to my home, Jesus comes back, I am ready. Would you stand, bow your heads, please.